So as you all probably know, today is another big day at Holy Cross. Not because of the Sunday itself. I have to admit, full disclosure, there really is nothing that special about the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. It's just another Sunday. Epiphany is another one of those ordinary times, right? It's another one of the green seasons. It's sort of the winter version of Pentecost. It's one of those seasons where we're in between, and we're waiting for the next big thing, which is Lent, of course, which is right around the corner. But we have a little bit of time this year, not quite as fast as last year. But, of course, as you know, it's an important day for Holy Cross today because today is our annual meeting. And that's a day that every Episcopal church looks forward to, and many of us dread, because we anticipate, okay, it's going to be a really long day. I promise you that this year is going to be different. We're going to be very quick and efficient today, so no need to dread. But the tradition of the annual meeting is, I think it's a valuable tradition because it gives congregations this moment, usually at the beginning of the year, to pause and to look backward and then to look forward and to really talk about our vision and our calling and to make an honest assessment of who we are and where we're headed. It's a great time for us to be able to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? And how are we doing at staying true to that why, to that reason? And what might we need to change or adjust or keep in order to keep ourselves on the right track? Now, Jesus gives us a vivid illustration of this same sort of thinking, this same sort of question, in our gospel reading today from Matthew. The reading today is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, which we're in right now. Remember, we heard the Beatitudes last week. And Jesus is continuing to lay out for his followers what it means to be a disciple, what it means to follow him. And so he uses salt and light as these metaphors for a few different reasons. The first being that these were common items that just about anybody would be familiar with. Everyone used salt to preserve their food, and everyone was familiar with light. They used candles to light their homes. These were the essential stuff of life. Secondly, salt and light are things that are good and useful, but not just in and of themselves, but because of what they do to other things or for other people. I mean, think about it. Salt is just a rock, but used as seasoning or preservative, it's powerful. And light for us, the light of a candle, is only useful in that it enables us to see things better. So if Jesus is asking us to imagine ourselves as salt and light, he's making the point that our calling, our ministry, is not for the good of ourselves, but it's only good in what we're able to do for others. Now, can salt really lose its saltiness? From a scientific perspective, not really. The chemical properties of salt are pretty stable. Your salt in your shaker is not going to expire anytime soon. But I don't think Jesus, when he's talking about salt losing its saltiness, he's not trying to talk science. He's trying to make a point that if what we have to offer to others loses its flavor, its capacity to lead others not to our goodness, but to the goodness of God, then we really have lost our purpose. What good is the message that we have to offer to the world? What good is our witness? On a day like today where we ask ourselves, how are we doing? We might want to ask ourselves that question as well. What is the flavor of our community? Or maybe we could ask that in a different way. What do people see, hear, experience when they encounter us? What do people experience when they walk through the doors of our church? Sure, they might experience good people, good worship, good coffee, sometimes, all the time. But are they experiencing God? Are they having an unmistakable encounter with the abundant and unconditional love of God expressed through God's people in the church? And I believe that this is what Jesus is getting at when he talks about fulfilling the law. He was talking to people who were probably pretty good at fulfilling the law. They were good people, just like we're good people. And that's not a bad thing, according to Jesus. But it's also not enough. Because just being good, just following the law, is not enough to point people to the kingdom of God. It's not enough to bring transformation to unjust systems. It's not enough to free the captives, because only one thing can do that. The power of the love of God, as demonstrated by Jesus. So when we ask ourselves what we're really good at in this church as a community, we need to know, are we good at being good? Or are we good at being love? Paul is saying similar things to the church in Corinth in his letter to the Corinthians. He's talking about wisdom in this case. But the wisdom that the Corinthians were striving for wasn't really wisdom. It was knowledge. And knowledge, just like being good, isn't a bad thing in and of itself. We Episcopalians like to pride ourselves on knowledge. You know, we're educated people. We tend to believe that that sort of wisdom is what's needed to solve the world's problems. And it certainly doesn't hurt. Education's a good thing. Knowledge can be a good thing. But Paul, like Jesus, says, it's not enough. The key to true wisdom is to know just one thing, one message, Christ and Him crucified. This is the message that should shape our community, a message of love so powerful that it's willing to give up everything, not just for the people that we like, but also for our enemies. That's the sort of knowledge that Paul calls the mind of Christ. And it's that mind that's able to loose the bonds of injustice, that's able to let the oppressed go free, that's able to break every yoke. And so today, after our service, we're going to talk about all of the good things that have happened here at Holy Cross in the last year, and the good things that are yet to come. And we'll keep on doing that good work, because that's who we are. That's what we're called to do. But we're also called to something beyond that. We are called to be, not just to do. We're called to be shaped by that cross for which our community is named. If we let ourselves be transformed in that way, if we let love rule in everything that we do, as Bishop Curry at the Good News Festival said, for those of you who were there, heard his sermon, if we love always when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it, then our light will shine as a beacon to those who are looking for hope in all of the darkness in this world. So in this next year, let our light, let our flavor, let the flavor of this community be love in everything that we do. And I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.